Connected to CMN Network. You're connected to CMN Network. Connected to CMN Network.
Hey, Divya. KF8FGS monitoring.
You're connected to CMN Network. Currently connected to CMN Network.
KF8FGS. KF8FGS, KCAKJO. Good morning, Cujo. Pretty quiet out here this morning.
Today is all local stuff, thank goodness. It's going to be physically demanding, but still not driving far today.
Yeah, roger that. Roger that. Well, I just got a new radio hooked up. I finally got my Anytone 578 programmed. Hopefully I got a good signal out there this morning.
Yeah, you sound great.
You know, here, I'm going to try going to a lower power. Right now it's on the high power. It's got four power ratings. This is the second from the top. I'm gonna knock it down and see if we can still hit the repeater. Hey, we're knocking down to a medium power rating. Again, this is KF8FGS.
Still full quieting, 5-9.
Well, thank you for that. And we'll drop it down. I think it'll do. Just gotta get it down to 1 watt. Let's see what we can do here. KF8FGS on the low power.
Still good to me. So I think you got it.
Well, thank you. Thank you for that. Everybody always wants to put out the high power, and I guess really only have to put out what it takes to hit the repeater. So you're all local today? KF8FGS, back to you.
Yeah, Auburn Hills, Highland Park, and Ann Arbor. So heading to the office now in Auburn Hills. Which direction my coworker wants to go to first. We tag team a lot of stuff. We go a lot faster that way when you get the run done quickly.
Yeah, roger that. Yep. I've had more than my share of windshield time or glass time or however the guy, however you want to refer to that. I was a plumber HVAC tech back in the day. Lots of windshield time.
Yeah, I remember you and I talking about that, being an HVAC tech. Really, that way you know that when your air conditioning goes down at your condo or your house or at your residence, that's because that's what it is.
Roger that. Roger that. I still do that kind of work, you know, for a little bit of side income as a retiree. At the union hall, they don't frown on a retiree doing a little bit of residential repair. They just ask us to stay out of the commercial realm. You know, and so then, you know, you get, then your neighbors find out you know how to do it and they expect it for free.
Yeah, my neighbor is a backyard mechanic, and, you know, if I take my vehicles over to him and he fixes them for me, you know, and then I usually buy him dinner or, you know, throw cash his way, you know, whatever he, you know, whatever he decides, you know, kind of thing. I forgot to pay him the last time he did something. I'm like, oh, my God, I forgot all about it, you know, because he mentioned it to his wife. His wife mentioned it to my wife, who mentioned it to me. I'm like, oh, crap, that's right, I forgot, you know, so dumped him a couple bills, and he was happy.
It's always good to compensate a guy, you know, for what they do. You know, that was his career, and I'm not sure what you do if you're in the technical aspects of radio or computers or what have you. I hear you guys talking all the time. I'm not quite sure what y'all do.
I am an access system specialist, so I do ID badging systems. That's my forte. And my coworker, he does, he's a tech specialist in cameras, so he's the CCTV specialist. And then between the both of us, we can also do burglar alarms and fire alarms. And we work for JCI, which we do HVAC too.
Oh yeah, very familiar with Johnson Control. My last gig was 10 years at Chambon & Son, and you know, they do everything that you mentioned, you know, from swipe cards to cameras and all of that, as well as, well, you know, Chambon does a lot of different things. But yeah, I was ended up being project manager for the Detroit office for the last 10 years or so of my career. But yeah, I came up a plumber and learned HVAC along the way. And HVAC's a whole lot easier than some of the plumbing you get involved with. I had boilers, you know, which is always, there aren't too many guys out there doing boilers anymore for some reason. So us older guys, we stay busy with that in the fall time for sure. AFA, FGS.
Hey, you don't see too many boilermakers anymore. You know, with all the certs and everything else like that. So, you guys are a disappearing breed. Hopefully there's some young bucks out there that'll take it on, because there's still a lot of commercial buildings that use boiler.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And, you know, we, you know, the local 636 has got some real good guys on commercial boilers. You got the pipe fitters from 636 do the boilers. Well, you know how it goes, do the commercial stuff, and the plumbers do the residential when it comes to boilers. But yeah, it's I think there's going to be a resurgence in boilers because it's so much more efficient than what we felt than the scorched air, as the boiler guys call forced air.
Absolutely. I mean, you got a lot of places out in the country where I live that they get the wood burners, you know, with the heat exchangers. And they run, hot water through those? Isn't that similar to a boiler? All I know is it sits outside and they got to stoke the fire every week.
Oh, yeah, outdoor boilers. I got a guy... not too far from me. One of my neighbors has got one, and there's all different kinds. The kind of burn wood, the kind of burn the pellets, and what have you. And it's a standard kind of boiler, but typically there's different styles. But yeah, they're just boilers, and you run glycol through them, and because it is outdoors. And but they work real well. They work real well. And yeah, I've seen a lot of them. It's a nice little, looks like a shed out in the backyard, a little ways from the house. A shed with a smokestack. And it's all good stuff. All good stuff. Like I say, you're going to be seeing more of that.
And my coworker had a pellet one when they bought the house. But the heat exchanger was bad on it. And it would have cost them more money to repair it than to just stay with forced air. So he just has forced air, and he likes his house cool anyways. So he just has the temperature high enough to, keep the fill off. That's about it. He's like me. I keep my house like 65 to 67 kind of temp. Stays on gas.
Yeah, Roger that. I grew up that way. I mean, as a kid, if we were cold, Dad would say, "Well, put on your sweater." We were not allowed to touch the thermostat. He'd say, "Put on your sweater." We only had one. And nowadays, people have 40 sweaters.
Yeah, that's the way I am. We sit on the couch with the animals and. And we got blankets, and we just, throw the sofa blanket, on our legs. I wear a hoodie, and of course the dogs keep us warm.
Roger that on the dogs. We've got a couple of miniature schnauzers, one for myself and one for the wife. And, yeah, they definitely they will keep you warm. Absolutely right.
I'm going to
step aside for just a minute.
My bowl.
So grab my breakfast burrito.
She's warm by weight, because she's a thick girl. My dog is a Whippet Mountain Cur. So she keeps me warm because, she's a high-energy animal. And she burrows underneath the blanket with me, and then that keeps me warm. And then our other dog is an Australian Shepherd Blue Heeler. She's a little bit of a thick girl, too, and her fluff keeps you warm.
Yeah, well, the dogs, their body temperature's higher than people anyway. I think that's on, God made them that way on purpose. I'm going to step away for a second. My breakfast burrito is ready in the air fryer. I'll be right back. KFAFGS.
KFAFGS.
KFAFGS, we're back.
Connected to CMN Network.
And I am still here, KCKJO.
I never had a radio in the service truck. Just that, I suppose had I been involved in radio at that back then, I would have done that for sure. Tell you what, with these handhelds we have anymore, and all the repeater network, it doesn't take much radio in the truck anymore.
Almost every vehicle, actually every vehicle, service vehicle I've had since 1999 has had a amateur radio in it. I had a TV at one time, and that, fall by the wayside. So now I got four radios in here.
What radios are you running?
com on this mobile is a Yaesu FTM 310DRASP. So that's just to do that as well. And I have a Motorola XDR5550D for UHF, analog, and DMR. And then I have a Tate, I'm not sure the model number. That's a VHF.
You probably have more antennas than a police cruiser.
I got one for each radio. Yeah, of course. You know, they're all mag mount. And I'm technically getting a police cruiser this Saturday for a personal vehicle.
Is that one of the SUVs, or is it, a sedan?
Ford Explorer Police Interceptor.
Yeah, I've had a couple back in the days of the Crown Vicks. And back then, even as big as they were crazy fast. Crazy fast. I'm not sure what they put in the Explorers. As far as we used to call them, police interceptor engines in the Fords.
This one I'm looking at is a 3.7 liter V6, not the turbo. And which is fine, the turbo just needs more maintenance. So it's just a beefed up Ford Explorer, with the police package in it, police suspension, brake, rotors. All the heavy-duty stuff, which is what I'm looking for, because it's just more robust.
Well, roger that on the robust. Some people are afraid to take it, to buy a ex-police car, a police cruiser, but they're actually maintained pretty well. They get regular maintenance, and I don't know that if they get driven hard. I suppose a lot of, some police have a lead foot. When they're cruising just like anybody else. Kind of watch and make sure you don't get one with too many portholes.
This one's pretty clean. It's got 142,000 miles on it. I don't know how many engine hours it has on, idle hours. So I can look at that. And, but she's, fully outfitted. So that's another, thing. She's got all the strobes and everything on it. It's just stickers on the door. But, she looks pretty clean. And the advantage of a cruiser, too, is to have seats. With three dogs, you can take them somewhere muddy or whatever else, and throw them in the back of the passenger when I left it. They get too bad of a way. So, there's a lot of pros to it.
Yeah, well, I won't be the first time there was animals in the truck. In the vehicle. Do they still come with dual 12-volt batteries in the police vehicles?
Honestly speaking, I do not know. Because all the new light packages are LED strobes instead of regular strobes. But the regular strobes, they're going to do the dual batteries.
Thought about that, the LEDs, not taking as much juice. Starting to get a lot of popcorn coming along with your signal. Must be getting distant. Which repeater are you on right now?
I was on MPI Richmond Repeater. I just changed over to Michigan from Detroit over here in Oakland Township.
Yeah, roger that. I think I'm on Warren, FBI Warren right now.
Yeah, I'm up here by Rochester Road and Stony Creek Road. And then you might end up on Stony Creek Road. I lose a little bit of air time.
Repeater crawls after I get my antenna a little higher just to see what that J-pole will do. Right now I'm on the shovel handle J-pole.
Well, that sounds pretty good to me.
Well, it's good to know. Thank you. I appreciate that signal report. I'm about 6 miles from I'm not sure exactly where the repeater is. Only 6 or 7 miles.
She's got some height on her, I guess, put it that way. You know, we don't talk where sites are. Probably, I said it's going to be.
Roger that. Well, I'm just, you know, I've only had my station set up here, my shack, for a few weeks. And so I'm slowly getting things put together. So I guess the next thing is going to be a decent area map. I've got one of those Metro Park maps that covers a 5-county area. I figure that might be that one in... you know, Macomb County map, I think I'll put up on the wall.
Well, there you go. I know that Stony Creek, right up by the office there, in the parking lot, is like the highest, one of the higher points in Macomb County. There and the Romeo Proving Ground, which is the highest point. But, you could probably make Detroit for Stony Creek.
Well, I actually talked to a guy he's about half a mile from Belle Isle and on Simplex with my shovel handle J-pole and with a 10-watt HD. So I'm going to put that antenna up probably, it's going to be about 30 feet, and I've got a Comet 333, that CX333 tri-band, that is going to go up on the chimney as well on the other side of the house. So we'll see what we do with those.
Oh, absolutely. You know, we got Wyatt there in City, and we can hit the Romeo repeater quite well. It's set up. I think he's got it nominally, but not too high. But we can make I can reach Richmond with my
Roger that one. Well, you know, I'm going to build a, I like building things, so I'm going to go ahead and build a 2-meter Yagi, and see what we can do with that in the area here. I'll probably have, I don't know, for right now I'm not going to spend the money for a rotor, so I'm going to put it on a ground-mounted mast that I can rotate manually. So, but I like building things. I like building things. And they tend to be a little heavier, so I got to come up with a way to build a Yagi without without adding a lot of weight. I've got some aluminum from some old TD antennas, and I think what I'm going to do is swage the ends and get them put together to build the long enough pieces to make that work. I was thinking I was going to start with just a 3-element, and I'll probably go to a 5-element. In fact, I might just go ahead and do the 5-element and get a little bit more material. And we'll see how that works out.
Oh, absolutely. You know, you already got the rotor up there. I mean, from an old TV antenna, put that down, cut it down, and reconfigure it for VHF, and that'd be pretty cool too.
That antenna project is probably going to be pretty low on the list of priorities. I got a few things to do here on the honeydew list. One of them is I got to put in a new sprinkling well and get tired of paying for city water for dumping on the lawn. So that's my next project.
Well, there you go. Got a little pond in the back. You just throw it in there. Water it as you normally do.
Well, I wish I had a pond. Got no pond. But what I do have is some pipe. I'm just going to poke a pipe down in the ground. And around here, you go down about 25 feet, you get a pretty good shallow well. Pretty good shallow well. So that's what we're going to do. It's sand and gravel underneath my house, where we live here in this region, in Shelby. So I'm just going to go ahead and take a chance and poke that pipe down in the ground and make it built.
I wonder how deep I can drill in here before I hit water. I might buy the Bell River. It's actually at the end of my street. So, that'd be a thought. But Memphis water isn't that expensive. But Shelby Township, Sherman Heights, one. Oh, yeah. That's some hefty water prices right there.
Yeah, I actually thought about putting in a second meter, because they will allow you to have a second meter for your irrigation. But I looked at the cost of water, and then they put restrictions on you. Of course, you can only water between odd or even days based on your address between 11 at night and 5 in the morning. So then you got to get the clocks and everything. An irrigation system. I've been using rain barrels, and I've got a couple pumps that I use with the rain barrels, and they run the sprinklers just fine. So it's kind of a manual thing when you're out doing other things in different parts of the yard. Just run them. It's about 20 minutes, maybe 30 minutes on each rain barrel. They're 70 gallons, so it pumps down. There's probably still 10 gallons in there when the pump starts pulling air, but so it's sort of a manual thing. But I always felt good about harvesting rainwater and putting that back on the ground rather than the processed city water. And I had a well, but it quit working a few years ago. When I got city water, I never bothered to fix it. But now I got some time, so that's what we're gonna do. In fact, speaking of time. It's getting away from me. I'm going to have to sign off and go visit my dad and see how he's doing this week.
Well, let's just call it perfect timing because I'm a couple minutes away from the office. So I'll say 72 on your final, and I'll talk to you later in the day.
All right, well, have a good day at the office and at working, and safe travels. KJO Tom, I believe your name. This is David, KFAFGS, Finding Good Signal, 73.
You're connected to CMN Network.
W8FU.
K8BB.
Was that Don?
K8BB.
That is funny. In the background, there's a GMRS channel. There's some people on the output. It must be a business. And right when I said, is that Don? Over on the GMRS channel, somebody said, Don is here.
That weren't me. Just turning on to Dad's street. So that's this morning. I'll be back on in a little bit, probably an hour or two. And maybe a little less, we'll see. And put out a shout and see what's going to happen for brunch or lunch or whatever, if that's still a game.
So a soft target of 11 sound good?
It wasn't for Donald either on GMR, just to let you know. Good morning.
Good morning. All right, I am pulling up. I'll jump out. And, yeah, 11 sounds good for a soft target. Talk to you soon. KBB.
All right, we'll look for you then. I'll let Murph know. And we're still planning on Royal Yolk, or you don't care.
Yeah, that should be fine. Anywhere between there and Birmingham, because I have to go there after. K8BB.
All righty. W8FU.
Connected to CMN Network.
NAWRONAWROKCHKJO.
You're connected to CMN Network.
KABB.
Rolling.
And open for a destination.
Do you have a suggestion? And if not, are you thinking breakfast, lunch? What's your feeling? I'm completely open.
I'd probably lean breakfast, and be happy to do toast. I know that's well liked. It's a place in downtown Royal Oak, Cafe Muse. I think they do breakfast, brunch, lunch until about 1:30. Then they close for dinner, close till dinner. Those are both good, not near each other, or whatever else. The fly trap, too. That's good. I don't know how busy they are at this time of morning.
Well, I like the idea of the second one. I didn't hear what you said it was. You know, I love toast, don't get me wrong, but we've been there, you know, more than a few times. I was looking around for something new, too. There's this First Watch that opened up at 13 and Woodward.
so it's pretty cool. But what's this one you mentioned in Royal Oak?
Yeah, First Watch. I've been to one of those ones that was really good. I would do that. I'd be happy to do that. The other place is Cafe Muse, M-U-S-E. They're right in downtown Royal Oak, Washington, I think. Yeah, Washington. Just by 4th Street. They're good. They're small. Good food. First Watch, I think, is a little more, probably have more options. They've got a deeper menu, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I'm looking at Cafe Muse here, and boy, I could do either one. I've not been to either, so they'll both be a new experience for me. So I'm going to let you pick, and I'll see you there.
Well, why don't we do the Muse, and then we'll keep First Watch on the radar. There's a few of those around. There's one by 16 Mile, Rochester Road. There's one by Maple Road in Coolidge, I think, just on the Troy side across the street from Birmingham. I saw one out on Hall Road in Sterling Heights on the way to the audio thing over the weekend. So there's a few of those around. I didn't think I had one at 13 in Woodward. That would be very convenient for me. But yeah, why don't we do the Muse? I haven't been there in a while.
Perfect. I look forward to it. So I will get going here in a few. It's opening day, so of course I'm Tiger paraphernalia. I'm sure it's okay.
Well, we'll make an exception for you, yeah.
Let me get rolling. Catch you from the road in a few. W8FU.
All right. Well, I am passing 11 Orion, so we'll probably be there about the same time then. If I get there first, I'll, you know, usual Royal Oak parking. Good luck with it. K8BB.
See, we had a little rain, did we?
I think we had more than a little. We had a lot last night. At my house, we had quite a bit of horizontal heavy rain late in the evening, and then we had a couple different times overnight. I woke up with rain hitting the window. So, yeah.
I guess I didn't notice. I just got out here onto my road, and, of course, being a dirt road, it's got little puddles all over the place. And out here on the main road, I can see it's still wet along the curb. I slept through it like a baby, didn't have any clue.
Yeah, we went out to eat with some friends, and didn't get in late, but, you know, we were full. I was like, oh, I can't believe we ate all the food. So we just kind of relaxed, and then to bed on time for a change. I am sitting here on the freeway. I haven't moved in a minute and a half. I'm in the right lane on westbound 696 after 75, you know, so this is the lane you're in to get off at Woodward. And then the merge lane from the other direction here is also on the other side. I don't know where they're coming from because this exit is closed from 75. I know, maybe it's not, but nobody's moving, it's just stopped.
You're quite a bit out ahead of me. I'm just at 11 and a half in the Quinner, so I'm going to run 11 over to Washington and then head south on that, find it.
Yeah, we're inching along again. I think it was a construction vehicle temporarily stopping things. Yeah, don't come down here.
I'll run Lincoln sometimes, depending. I mean, sometimes I'll run Gardenia, come in north of everything, but most of the time, the fastest way for me in is 11.
Yeah, it's too bad about Murph.
I hope everything's okay.
Is there no exit? I don't think there's an exit here. They've got the Woodward exit closed. All right, I got to catch this phone call, and I don't know exactly if I'm going to... I may be late. Anyhow, I'll be back. KBB.
WFQ.
Where did you guys decide to go for chow? Cafe Muse in Royal Oak.
I generally like to try something new if there's an option to try something new. I've never been there, so perfect. And there were a couple. There's another one I saw that I've never been to. So, and then we've got some regulars we do. They're a little upscale from your regular, you know, just greasy diner, but not crazy. But they got something extra. We like toast a lot, but we've been there multiple times, so this is new. We'll see.
Have you ever done the Pancake House? I can't remember if I did that one or not.
I think you mean the original Pancake House on Woodward there, just before you get into Birmingham. It was on my list of suggestions should Don be devoid of any suggestions, but he had a couple of good ones, so I didn't have to suggest that one. Don does like his cakes, so I figured that would work, and it's exactly where he needs to be. So that was kind of my backup. But yes, I've been there plenty of times. Fond of it.
Yeah, that one. You got pancakes the size of a dinner plate. I mean, they're moderate in price, but they're darn good. Pancakes.
Yep, they certainly are something. They got one in Grosse Pointe as well that we, I've been last several times because where my grandkids are, you know, that one's been the one I've gone to. But I haven't been to the one there on Woodward in quite some time. But, yeah, they got them big Dutch, you know, or German pancakes, whatever they call them, huge puff-up pancakes. And there's one on Van Dyke. Is that also Original House Pancakes, or is that something else? Because there's two of them. There's the Pantry, there's Pancake Pantry. And then there's the Original Pancake House. They both have those big Dutch pancakes or whatever.
The only pancake place, or the only, pancake place I can think of on Hammock is IHOP. I don't think there's anything else there that I can think of. Now, you and Andy want a nice evening out is PJ's Brew House, if you haven't hit there yet.
I heard you talk about that before, so it's hard to get her to go out, so just keep that in mind. But, there's I think it's a pantry. I think it's a Pancake Pantry, or just they call it just the Pantry now, and it's at like 15 and a half in Van Dyke. And, I think it's associated with the one on Hall Road there. Between Grosbeck and Gratiot. I think it's one of those. So not the Original Pancake House. Not to be confused with International House of Pancakes, which is pretty mediocre, in my opinion.
You're being generous for IHOP. And I was going to go a step lower, below mediocre last time we were there. The Pantry on Van Dyke and the Pantry on Hall Road are one of the same owners. Absolutely. I just did Hop House there in Richmond last week for breakfast, and I was highly impressed.
And whenever it's pleasant out, you get in Royal Oak, you see all these women jogging, and I feel I need to perform a service here. This last girl I just see jogging, but I need to stop her and inform her of how important it is to have a sports bra, because that loose t-shirt and all that movement was not good for her. So I feel that I have a service I could offer here in the interest of feminine health.
I would do the same.
Yeah, she just went blasting by, and I just caught myself staring, and I said, nobody haunted me, though, so. Anywho, it makes me think, I used to come down here to run. There's always a lot more to see when you're running in down here. I had forgotten, because this is the first day I've been down here and seen people out and about. It's a nice day. They say it might be the warmest Tiger opener in history.
Oh, yeah. I mean, last opener, geez, it was like 50 degrees and rainy. So, yeah, this is by far. And probably all those joggers are coming from Oakland Community College right there on Woodward. See them out there when the weather's like this. Same thing with when I go downtown Ann Arbor. There are as many as I can see.
Oh, I just think it's the locals. It's a great place to walk and run because there's a lot, you know, there's a lot to see. One thing about walking and running is it's boring. You don't cover a lot of ground. I don't know where this is, so I got to get out. Okay, there's 306, so 325, so I'm going the right way, and that's 5, so it's going to be on this side. It's got to be right up here.
Well, I'm going to interrupt and say I am still sitting on the freeway and traveling approximately 10 feet per minute, so I could not be any more irritated. My apologies in advance. T-A-B-B.
Well, Don,
okay, well, is what it is. I just pulled up in front, right across the street from Keller Williams, your arch enemies.
Haha. Well, like I will be there as soon as I can get there. It is just, there's a clueless as to what's up ahead here, but it's whatever it is. It's affecting hundreds and hundreds of cars. We're all on the same sinking ship here. Anyhow, I'll stop being so negative. KABB. Hi, Tom. Over here.
Good morning, Don. Woodward exit, if Southfield is open, you can use that door and come back down. If you're going into, where are you going, Royal Oak or Birmingham for breakfast? Sounds like, is that Royal Oak, you said? Go ahead, Sean.
Yep, Royal Oak. It's Cafe Muse on Washington. Looks like it's between, right about 4th. Third, fourth, I don't know. Anyhow, I am parked here. I got to get the Park Mobile app cooking so I can keep myself from getting a ticky. No ticky, no brecky.
Is that at 304 South Washington?
I think that's about right.
It's in Washington Square Plaza. Where the Royal Oak Theater's at?
Yeah, it's in that building just... It just in that building that is to the north, kind of the north end of that block. Kind of in the middle, but toward the north end of that block.
Have you used this Park Mobile app, Don? So it says confirm parking. It's got my plate. I've got the proper zone. And but it doesn't give me any time. It just says 13 hours, 23 minutes, ends at 11:59 p.m. So I got to pay for until midnight?
That don't sound right, unless you hit max out, maximum or something previous to that. Although I don't know if it starts before 11 a.m., but I think it does.
Oh, wait, it says select parking time, 13 hour, 23 minute, holiday, 2026.
Oh, so is it free then for the holiday? I don't know. If I could ever get there, I'll look in the app.
Well, it says total, including service fee, zero, but then it wants me to pay.
Okay, you should definitely pay zero.
All right, that's what it is. It's free because it's a holiday, so. All righty, that explains it. So I can go walking around. I've got all the parking I want. I've literally got the front center parking spot.
Very good. Well, I am still down in the ditch. Inching literally our way up there.
All righty then. I'm going to switch over to the phone app and get you guys pedestrian mobile. W8FU.
K8BB.
Okay, how bad is my audio? Testing 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 frequencies.
Very.
Is it the fidelity or is it like wind noise or something?
The fidelity is muffled and rolled off on the high, and it's very loud and kind of distorted, like overdriving, over something.
All right, is this any better?
It might be a little bit.
So it's probably headset related more than anything. I'm wearing my phone conduction headset. All right, I won't stop to listen to this. I'll just listen for you to say your coaching. I'll stay relatively close so I can get back. Just taking a little walk around the neighborhood.
Very good. Well, I predict about 10 more minutes before I'm up at the ramp here that gets near a traffic light to get into downtown. So do enjoy the sights and the smells. I'll check in a bit. K8BB.
And there's a whole bunch of places I haven't eaten at down here. Diner. 515 looks like an coffee house. It's a lie. I don't get on Washington that much.
WAFU, KPR.
Yeah.
KTR, WAFB.
Hello. Well, the audio sounds really weird. I don't know what's going on.
Yeah, I'm on my phone. My phone conducts an headset, so I guess this is what it is.
Oh, okay. That explains it. Yeah, I was just wondering, are you going to be coming? I'm just heading to the office right now. Are you going to be coming by this afternoon?
Yes. Don and I are meeting for brunch in Royal Oak shortly, and then after that I plan on coming by.
Roger. Okay. I will be there. See that KP.
So I'll let Deb know. At what time is it now? 10:40. So I'm guessing probably be noonish.
Yeah.
Not sure. So just be able to wrap up.
Okay, I have made it to the surface, and I am on Main Street coming up to Lincoln, so I'll find myself a parking spot and a waddle over. I don't know what the ever-living F they've got going on down there, but there is multiple streams of heavy, heavy traffic all trying to come into the same spot. There's a problem they gotta fix.
Well, is the audio any better? Testing 1, 2, 3, 4.
It's less bad. It's a little more articulate.
Well, I didn't do anything about the... I'm back to the other program because it's... It's a lot easier to use, kind of push the talk button. And so I'm still going to have the same fidelity, but I did knock the level way the hell down. I am right in front of the office. And, just with all the stuff still inside, but so they haven't vacated, so to speak. Oh, well.
I noticed that when I drove by the other day, that everything was still there, just not open for business. So, all right, well, I'll find a parking spot here. I think I've got one, and I'll catch you in a few minutes. KB.
Well, I might understand your
question, WARCY.
Hold up, Don. Don, are you here? Did I hear you're looking for parking? I'll have to double back.
Yep, Don, just pulled in the parking spot in front of the arch competitor. I'll see you in a few. KABB. Hi, Donald. Bye, Donald.
All right, I'm just leaving. I'm over on 4th. Just coming up on Washington. I'll be there in a second. Good morning, Donald.
Morning, Sean. Good morning and goodbye, Don. You said you were by the office coffee shop there. Is that place closed and out of business?
Yeah, that kind of used to be Don and my go-to when we meet for a quick coffee or a bagel. You know, we didn't want, like, actual food. But they closed down, a while back now. At least a month. Look like. I mean, it's closed, there's no question, but yeah, everything's still all set up inside like they could open it up tomorrow.
I used to frequent with Royal Oak a lot before I moved out this way, and I was like one of their original customers during the open. And I was just, you know, I was just listening to your conversation, and I heard you say that you were there, and it looked like it was closed, and I'm just shocked. I always liked that place. Yeah, I've had many coffees there. I've had many Wi-Fi times there. And like I said, that's before I even moved out to, you know, this side of the area. So from, you know, St. Clair Shores, as far east as I used to come. So that was a surprise. Okay, I'll let you carry on. Thanks for the information. We'll talk at you later. WARCY.
All right, perfect timing. We're just meeting up and going in. Catch you later. WFU.
WADD.
You're connected to CMN Network.
Chad.
that might have been me.
You think? Maybe check where your radio's transmitting.
No, I was trying to go to... I've been doing a lot of walking lately, and I was trying to put an all-star node outside, and the radio got hot, so I took the radio out, put a lower wattage radio in there, just because 25 watts was just too powerful, and then when I swapped out the radios, there must be something set different in the pin. So, I got it handled.
Yeah, because we don't do slow scan around here on the repeaters. So, WCNN.
Yeah, all I kind of do is make a real low wattage little repeater for the subdivision. So when I'm walking around, because last night I couldn't hit the net, and I was only like a mile away from the house, and I go, okay, this isn't good. So I was trying to fix it, and it worked good with the high-powered radio, but if I remember correctly, you can probably correct me, but on the XPRs, I think there's different pin configurations that you can do in the software for the firmware.
So you'll want to check data. Just use PTT and such. Don't use the data revert and all that. But you can assign in the GIO pins those. But you want to do PTT, not data revert.
Yeah, that was it. The GIO pin. Because I know that the better radio, the stronger radio, is what I use for a base. I know that one, I messed around with the GIO pin, but the radio got so freaking hot, even at 25 watts, I'm going, okay, I don't need this kind of power, so I was trying to eliminate the power, so I swapped the radio out, and then I got in the car, and I heard the darn thing squawking, and I go, oh, I'm a gun, so, because I just yanked the radio and put the other one in, but, all right, I'll figure out what, I'll just match the GIO pin to the stronger radio, and then I'll keep that from happening.
Alrighty, I'm mobile, or going to be. I'll be at office.
Good old Cujo's got me 5K walk, and I'm building up to it. I'm up to a whole mile and a quarter, but I am going to do it. I am going to get the trophy.
And it's VBS mobile.
W Victor Delta, go ahead.
Connected to CMN Network.
KFH, DRC. Good afternoon, Jack. How are you doing? KDH of the OJ.
Pretty good. How about you?
I am hanging in there, and I just realized it's morning. Not on the porch enjoying the weather and having a cigar.
I was saying it's 73 degrees here. And now, how am I sounding out that way? Because I just put that little antenna outside with this radio, and I want to see how it was sounding.
Sounds pretty good. I don't, nice and clear. Seems to be a 5.9. I don't see anything at all wrong with it.
Yeah, now. Well, it's 73. I don't know what they're saying. They're going to be 83 and still 5 o'clock.
Oh, heck, I hope not. I'm not ready for that yet.
It's okay. I'll take it. Yeah, it's kind of windy over here. I was thinking of heading down to the lake and doing a little bit of fishing, but seems kind of extra breezy.
Yeah, that is the same thing here. It's a breezy, yeah. I can tell that because the tree's moving back and forth.
Yeah, earlier I wandered out here earlier this morning, and I kept looking at, you know, dark clouds moving, any kind of thing. Every time I thought about going down there to fish, it looked like it was going to rain. Now it's pretty clear, blue skies, little wispy clouds.
A little cloud, but the sky clear. A little bit of cloud, that's all it is.
Yep, I may have to wander down there before it gets dark if I find the energy. this is getting old age for everybody.
You're right. That winter is just unbelievable. I mean, 3 weeks of winter, a bad winter, below zero, that is a hurt a little bit.
Of course, we live in the house, so it's not cut off the cat, but the critters outside, I was swimming in the lake for food this winter.
Yeah, where you at, by the way, because you only got a little bit of scratches.
Walnut Lake in West Louisville, but I'm on a porch with a 5-watt handheld.
I see, anyhow. Oh, no, I'm on that DB20G, the good radio.
Yeah, it sounds pretty good. I keep forgetting with these handhelds when I'm on the porch that I got to be careful where I'm if I start moving around.
I'm also on the wall feeder. I don't know how far I am from, maybe 20 miles from Warner Feeder, probably.
I guess I'm probably going that. I'm going down to the KC8 LPS in Detroit there.
I see, yeah, well. I don't know, that side of town, always Detroit is better. Even on the GMRS, the 625, we can hit it from there to Detroit, the GMRS. And it really does the job. It's better from the Mount Clemens one, the 675.
I notice the same thing here. I think we're a couple hundred feet higher than Detroit kind of thing. I notice when I go southeast or south or southwest, I can get out there quite a ways. The other one's trying to go north or west or even east is a little bit more difficult.
Yeah, you're right. But for me, they say you're about 100 feet higher for those repeaters. I'm a little bit higher than everybody else, I guess.
Yeah, especially if you're on near on the top of one of them hills in Rochester there.
Yeah, I'll be honest with you, I don't see no hills here at all. Oh, so it's nothing but the golf course and, where they play soccer and all that stuff. Big fields.
Oh, okay, you might be on the south side of Rochester. I know I'm kind of familiar with the north side, like Orion Road goes up between Rochester and Lake Orion. There's quite a few hills in there.
If you're saying, back then I was on the GMRS, and I used to hit Ohio all the time on that 625 KF8 DRC.
Yeah, I remember the same thing here in quite a few distant places there on GMRS. I didn't know it was capable of that. Of course, for a long time, I didn't know GMRS had repeaters.
back to 22 when Professor Don, and that's the first guy I was talking to, Professor Don. I don't know if you know him or not.
Yeah, I kind of miss hearing him. It's the Don that I'm thinking of.
A very nice guy. We missed him. I missed him. I know that because I ran into him about one time in the supermarket, and next time taking a test. I was taking a test for my ham operator.
Oh, cool. Yeah, I know. I used to hear him all over the place. He used to get around pretty good. You know, KE4ZYQ, Joe, you know he passed away, didn't you?
I heard it a long time ago, not too long ago. But you know what? He was the first caller when I had my ham radio, license. He was the first caller. He called me first, and I put his call sign right on that logbook.
Oh, that's cool. Yeah, he sure loved to talk. I miss that guy too.
What do you got to do? All right. Good talking to you because I'm on my destination. I just want to see if that little antenna, if it's going to work or not. I got to take that 2x4. I love that 2x4 because it does a hell of a job, but I can't put it on there because I had a new pickup truck and you cannot put it nowhere.
Oh, I got you. Well, the one you got sounds pretty good there. And I know what you mean. I got 3 mobile radios, and I got nowhere in the car to put them. I can't find anywhere to put the dog on. So half the time I end up with a handheld in the car.
And then this DB20 is not digital. I wish it was digital, but it's not. Just analog, that's all it is. But it does a good job.
Yeah, it sounds pretty good. All right, I'll let you go. I know you're at wherever you're getting to, wherever you were heading to there. So you have a good one. Good to catch up with you. I look forward to hearing you out at the lake there at your sister's place. So have a good day, and be careful out there. KEHWOJ.
You have a good day, and maybe this is in the front. Happy Easter, by the way. You'll talk to you later. KFABRC.
KKKJL.
Good morning, Tom. How are you doing?
Hey, Rick. You sound a little bit different today.
Yeah, the weather's better. I'm not near as much pain, and just got up from a nap. So I guess I'm doing okay.
Naps are a good thing. You don't need them sometimes.
How are you doing? You're still getting better, I hope.
Yeah, until everything starts pollinating, and then I'll be all logged up again.
Oh, no. Well, that's got to be a drag. My mom was that way, too. She had some of spring allergy kind of thing. Over crazy.
Spring allergies, summer allergies, fall allergies, and then winter is done. So it's a never-ending battle, I tell you.
Oh, geez, I didn't know you had to deal with it for 3 seasons. That is a drag. Can they give you anything for that that helps it out?
I'll take like Zyrtec or Sudafed or something like that. You know, Benadryl knocks me out, so I just muddle through it. I've been this way on my own.
Oh, bummer. I know it seemed to be kind of worse out in the country. Our mailman, I remember him every year driving around with a mask on for just about three seasons out of the year.
Yeah, more or less messes with my asthma. I mean, my nose is always stuffed. There's nothing I can do for it.
Yeah, I used to have sinus troubles like that. A good portion of the year, it was all stuffed up. But like you said, you kind of get used to it. So are you running around close to homes today?
Yeah, I'm over in Ypsilanti right now, heading over to Canton, and from Canton, I got to go to Island Park and fix more readers and intercoms that the kids knocked off the wall. Not knocked off, ripped off.
Oh, wonderful. Well, at least you're close to home this time. It seems like lately you've been at the north end of the state quite a bit.
On the west side. Yeah, but this new guy that got hired for the west side, so slowly he'll be taking over that area.
I heard you the other day when you were on your way back from Gaylord, I think it was.
Yeah, but I'm going to go back that way again on Tuesday.
Well, I kind of enjoy going there myself, but I don't go up there in an hour to get all the way back. That would drive me crazier, I should
say. Yeah, we got Gaylord and Flint on Tuesday, and then we got Lansing and somewhere else on Thursday. Yeah, but we're used to it.
I can't remember, are you close to retirement, or are you still a ways off from retirement?
I'm 6 years away from collecting Social Security, and who knows when I'll retire.
Oh, okay, I got you. Yeah, I kind of wish my health had fell apart to some kind of work now, but seems like there's not much nothing I can do anymore.
I'd rather keep busy, you know. I like to, you know, someone keep, I mean, I'm lazy too, but I also like to keep my mind busy.
Yeah, I used to enjoy building things and fixing things. A long time we built car a tooling machine tooling for the car company there. I enjoyed the heck out of that.
I don't have anything fancy like that. You know, I'll probably do, you know, radio, computers, phones. You know, but like I said, I don't sit down retiring anytime soon.
You're connected to CMN Network.
Yeah, an old friend of mine, he lives in just south of Gaylord in Waters, and I got him going as a pipe fitter for a while, and then, he retired also, but he kept working, plus he had retirement stuff from, he worked at GM for a little while and all that, and he was making money like crazy, Social Security and the retirement benefits from GM and some other places, some dealerships where he was a mechanic for a while. He ended up buying himself almost 140 acres or something up by Sheboygan. Now he's spending all his time and money putting into that.
Well, there you go. Take advantage of the time, you know, and enjoy it.
Yeah, him and his son like to hunt, and they're kind of building and taking themselves their own private little hunt club there.
Yeah, I don't hunt, so I won't do anything like that. But I'm going to say I won't enjoy my retirement, and my wife and I will travel around or something. We'll see when it gets that far.
Yep, travel is always nice, too. I always enjoy being on highways and freeways that I've never seen before. See what's coming up and where it's headed next. There's a lot of fun stuff there.
100%. All right, I'm at my next destination, so I will chat with you soon. K-K-K-K-O.
Okay, Tom, have a good one. Be careful out there. We'll catch you later. K-U-A-W-O-J.
ZC, Kuchunk. Testing to make sure I had the right code in this thing. It ain't ZC.
It ain't ZC, K-A-W-O-J. Yeah, you're getting in just fine, loud and clear.
Oh, cool. Thank you. Yeah, I discovered a little while ago that the Durand 70-centimeter machine here is linked to the FBI MI5, or not MI5, but WCMN. Had been listening and whatnot, and tried to jump in the middle of a conversation between Tom and somebody else here a little bit ago. I'm like, I don't think I have something right. So looked into it, and double-checked everything, thought, well, why not try and see what happens, because everything looked right. Anyway, name here is Carrie, and again, I'm over here, actually closer to Morris, but getting into the Durand machine, over.
Currently connected to CMN Network.
Well, Gary, you got Rick on this end, and yeah, you, before, previously, that was me, I was talking to Tom, and afterward, I noticed somebody was keying up, and they had a nice strong signal, but no audio, about three or four times, so I figured somebody must have had PL or something wrong.
Oh, hi, Rick. Well, I think part of the problem might be because I'm used to, on the DMR side, I have a talk permit tone. Analog side, I don't. So I'm like, wait a minute, is something not working right here? It's like, well, I got a Roger beat. It's like, huh. But at least, I think I only tried one time, and I'm like, something's not, I don't think I got something right here. So my apologies on that. And of course, you won't have any audio if I don't say anything. Oh, well, anyway. So, yeah, nice to make your acquaintance here, Rick. Sounds like a good bunch of guys down there on that part of the state, and I hear quite a few of them there on DMR, on Statewide 1. And when I discovered that, you know, Durand machine was connected to the analog side of it, it's like, well, I'm going to start listening to that, because Shiawassee County is kind of dead when it comes to UHF or even VHF for that matter. Back to you, Rick. It ain't Zetsy.
A-E-A-W-O-J. Yeah, the CMN network, it kind of runs through central Michigan there, and I think you can go to their website and they give a list of all repeaters that are linked in there. And, yeah, down here on this end, the FBI network, it's a really Dice Network linked into, I think, four or five different machines kind of thing, and really nice group of guys, very knowledgeable. And there's almost always something going on anyway.
Oh, yeah. Definitely seems like a good bunch of guys. And, I usually end up doing more sandbagging than anything. But it's like, keep telling myself, you gotta, like, push the PTT. Quit just listening. It's okay to talk. And I've been a ham for, what, 28-plus years now? Oh, I don't know. But now, now that I'm retired, I figure this winter, watching the days go by and trying to keep my brain busy and reprogramming radios and dreaming of other radios and all that kind of fun stuff and get a nice day out. Had to take the dog for a walk, and I'm debating on it today or not, because up here in my neck of the woods it's cloudy and gloomy, and you know, they say there's no rain, but it sure acts like it wants to.
Well, radio sure can keep your mind busy. That's for sure. Programming and reprogramming, wanting others. It'll keep us broke, too, most of the time. And, we had the same thing down here earlier today, but it's nice, kind of blue skies, little wispy clouds. I think somebody said it was in the 70s. But the wind's blowing pretty good. I was going to wander down the lake, do a little fishing, but the wind's blowing pretty good. I don't have a whole lot of energy myself at the moment, so maybe before dark I can wander down there.
W.A.D.
Oh, W.A.B.D., I think it is. Gotcha there. Yeah, I heard you, Rick, saying you were thinking about going fishing. That's a little more ambition than I have today. even the third cup of coffee is not helping. But anyway, I'll hand it over there to W8BD, and you can give it back to Rick. N8ZC.
All right,
I didn't mean to cut in on you guys. I thought I was on another channel, but I'll say hello. So, looked at the radio, and it was supposed to automatically go to a different frequency, but hey, that's good enough. I mean, interrupt you guys. Hope everybody has a good day. Hope everybody's enjoying their 70-degree weather. And I think that's it. Happy Easter, and go from there. Go ahead, Rich. Wally here, W8BD.
Hi, Wally. I thought it was you. I thought I recognized his voice there, and I was chuckling because I do the same thing every once in a while. I get these dual VFO radios, and I think I'm on one, but I'm actually listening on a different one, and I want to go back to somebody, and I'm broadcasting on the wrong one. This getting old is wearing on my little pea brain. Go ahead, Kerry, I think it was.
And I thought I was the only one that was tried to use the wrong side of the radio. Oh, it's good to know that I'm not alone. Anyway. Now, Wally, you're not interrupting nothing. You're just sitting here yakking because I thought maybe I was forgetting something or had something wrong on the radio or just plain doing something stupid. Anyway. No worries there, so. Oh, yeah. It's always fun to dream about radios, because it seems like radio technology is changing as fast as technology in general. And unfortunately, my monthly budget doesn't change along with it. But anyway, Wally, if you want, go ahead and take it. If not, pick it up there, Rick. N8ZC.
Now, I got radio budget, and I got a radio addiction to a lot, I'll admit it. I got more radios than I'll ever use, and but I got a DTM of microphone. I've got a commercial radio. You give them a microphone, and, you know, like, I can tell it, like in this particular case, go to channel 36 and then hit enter on the microphone, and it goes to channel 36. But I did look at the display, and I hit 36 enter. At least I thought I did, and I don't think I did. So apparently I did, because it reverted back to this one. Or unless it jumped back to it, I'm not sure what happened. So, but maybe it scanned back to it. That's a possibility, too. I didn't think about that. I'll have to check and see. So, either way, just another little nuance I either have to get used to or program that behavior out of it. Go ahead, Rick. WACD.
Oh, I know what you mean. I just got started in the digital here last summer, I guess, and that kind of thing. So I've got like 3 DMR radios, and if the Digimon is turned on, all of a sudden I'll be listening on one VFO to you guys on FBI. All of a sudden DMR will be popping up over the top kind of thing. And supposedly, if you stay up right then, you can join in on the digital kit. Sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. Sometimes it gets this old guy just lost. But it's always fun. It keeps me scratching my head.
Yeah, I'm kind of scratching my head, too, as I'm teaching myself to use Linux on my old laptop. And I've gotten to the point where, you know, I kind of like this. And then now, of course, my main radio PC, the last 2 days have sat here and, Windows 10 and Linux running together. I had dual boot set up, so that's just how I keep my brain busy, I guess. So it's not one thing, it's another. I'm trying to figure out, want to learn something, so you know it's going to be a good day if you learn something new, I guess. But other than that, now I'm sitting here drumming my fingers on the desk going, now what to do? Because I got the computers all back up and running. My third cup of coffee is evaporated on me. So here I am talking with you guys, I guess. Back to you, Wally, NHZC.
This will be my final. I'm on the runway to home, so I'm in the subdivision, driving the speed limit like a good little boy. So I'm going to find out. Linux is fun. I enjoy it. You can also run it. I forget what they called it, but there's a mode. You can get Windows 11 turned on. And also you can have a Windows environment if you're looking to do something, a Linux environment within Windows. And it's another window that does do that. I can't remember for the life of me what they called it, but maybe somebody can step in and you can look at that. And I find Debian is kind of hard to use, even though everybody's in love with Debian. It's just my personal one views on it. So, all right, I am out of here. I will not be able to hear you guys check out because I got to grab the wife and we're going to head north. So I'll talk to you guys later. You all have a good day. Whiskey 8, Mr. Delta is there.
Okay, well, I tried to get on the desktop there. I was enjoying the heck out of it. And I tried to get a little bit of Windows 11 and stuff so I could use my programming software for the radio system. I never could get it to work right. It was always crashing and all kind of weird. I would like to get back to Linux, but all my RC system software for the programming radios runs in Windows. But anyway, I'm going to do this again someday. Here you go.
All right, Rob. So Wally, just in case you do hear it, have a great day. Nice to chat with you. And yeah, I have been anti-Windows for a long time, and I've only sat down maybe a half hour to a Windows 11 machine, and I didn't like it any more than I did 10, or even Windows 8 for that matter. And but unfortunately, you know, I got a cheap license key for Windows 10, and the PC I have runs it just fine, and I really don't want to buy another new PC. I've been a Mac guy for years. I used to be a Macintosh service technician with, I don't know, a dozen different certifications at one time in my life, so I've always kind of levitated there, but there's just not much for ham radio on the Macintosh side, so you kind of have no choice but to go to Windows. But I see there's quite a bit for Linux, and I thought, well, maybe that's an alternative, because I got an old laptop. There's nothing wrong with it other than it needs a new battery, and Windows 10 doesn't run good at all on it. And I thought, well, that'll give me something to play with, so that's what I started doing there, too. But I know there's two variations, Debian, and I can't think off the top of my head what the other variation's called, but I just kind of levitated to Debian because Debian-compatible Linux versions, if you will, I recognize some of them, and, well, that's just where I started. So I'm only partial to it just because maybe ignorance is bliss. I don't know. But anyway, Rick, I think you were getting a little bit scratchy there. I don't know if you're moving away from the repeater or what's going on, but if you need to, I probably should get going here too and go find something to do or take the dog out anyway. Nice to make your acquaintance, and thanks for coming back. And I'm probably yammering too much, and I'll end up hitting that 3-minute timer. So back to you, Rick, and 8, let's see.
Yeah, I'm out here on the porch having a cigar, enjoying the weather, and the repeater I've used, I don't know, 20-some miles away, so I moved a little bit wrong. I just forget about that with the antenna. Yeah, anyway, I suppose I probably ought to get in and do stuff myself. I see the wind's coming down. Maybe I will wander down the aisle a little bit. Nice talking with you there, Gary. Good to make your acquaintance, and have yourself a great day, and don't be a stranger. Be careful out there, whatever you do, and we'll catch you later. AEHWOJ.
Oh, yeah, well, thanks, and again, good to catch up with you guys, and appreciate it. And now that I know, you know, the Duran machine's got activity, I just hang out here on the Duran 2 machines, and then the new HT I just got has 220 in it, so I'll have to go see if there's any life there or not, but nonetheless, I'll be listening to these two. So you have a good day. Enjoy that cigar, and catch you again, I'm sure. And, gosh, I forgot your call already. Oh, well, as long as I remember mine, which was N8ZC, and I'll be clear.
Have a good one, Gary, and so be a stranger. KDHWOJ.
It's the wake-up call for the astronauts in AWRO.
Connected to CMN Network.
KDHWOJ.
You're connected to CMN Network. Connected to CMN Network. You're connected to CMN Network. Currently connected to CMN Network.
WNFU. Good afternoon, John. He'll be okay.
Oh, good afternoon. What a day, huh?
Guess who? This is what I've been waiting many months for.
Yep, on my way home, and sun's shining, and 71 degrees. I don't know, my temperature tends to bounce up a degree or two if I drive a little bit, so. But anyway, you spice it up. Nice. Opening day. Haven't tuned into the Tigers, so I don't know how they did or are doing. They're probably still doing.
Four nothing, top of the eighth.
They're a little downward plunge there, late. I'm not sure they're going to make the playoffs again. Now it's pretty nice. It's been kind of breezy most of the day, and the wind's kind of died down. I just might wander on down to the lake, down a few lures.
Sorry about that. Had to deal with a person that was on their phone, weaving around on traffic on 16 Mile Road. Grief. Look to be in their 20s. These kids are going to have to learn how to get their heads out of their dupas.
Tigers are up 4-0, top of the eighth.
All righty then.
Oh, thank you for that. And, Sean, you're right. I think sometimes I think the team pool needs more chlorine.
Yeah, I heard when Donald came in with the score, and I was going to comment on it, but then that girl in the car started drifting over on me, and I had to hit my brakes, and the car that was behind her had to swerve to the left, and, you know, and then as I went by her on the right, you know, I was worried about her coming over to my lane. And then all of a sudden she starts a hard drift to the left, and by the time it came back around to me, I no longer remembered Donald mentioning the score.
Score is 4-0 Detroit, top of the eighth. The Cardinals have one runner on at this time.
W8RCY, I'll let you two continue on. I was just chiming in with the score.
Thank you, sir. You don't have to run off. And, Sean, I remember on the freeway watching this car come flying up about 85, 90. And when it come up alongside me, it was a girl putting her makeup on, no hands on the wheel, was steering with her knee. Could hardly see out the windshield for all the mirrors in front of her. That was incredible.
Well, the whole cell phone distracted driving thing's a problem no matter who it is. But, the problem with the young kids is that they're so glued to their phones compared to what we were. And there's not people, older folks, that aren't also glued to them, but they're so glued to them. And the worst part is that they don't have the years, they think they're good drivers, but they're not. They haven't got there yet, So you combine that complete absorption in the telephone along with the fact that you're really not that good a driver, and it's just reckless. I've had at least two today. I had one that was, first they were just sitting at a light, playing on their phone, and then when they started going, they barely, took off, some ridiculously, and I was in the traffic, on Main Street, and they were on like fourth, let's say, or third or something. And when the light went green for them and I'm at the red, they just sat there. And, I'm like, are you going to go? It's like, it's okay, I got a red light, so no big deal. But then they finally go, and it's like, they're just kind of like creeping through the intersection because she's busy with her phone, gets through the intersection and then comes to a stop right in the road on the other side. And I'm like, just oblivious to traffic's the number one thing you're doing. Your phone is not important. And then this person here on 16 Mile Road, same thing. Young girl, probably hasn't been driving all that long, and she's drifting back and forth and on her phone. I'm like, oh, my God.
Yeah, but before I got a cell phone myself, I used to see, it seemed like everybody had their faces buried in their phones just nonstop. I thought, oh, my God, if I ever get to that point. Give me a lead injection. Well, here we are many years later, and I just like everybody else. Except when I'm driving and it's in my pocket.
Yeah, it's just bad all the way around. I just saw a little infographic that showed, and I don't know how much you can trust half these infographics I see seem like come out of left field, but this one showed, countries where it's, where it's illegal to use your phone in the car, or legal but only hands-free, or no restriction, et cetera, and it was kind of surprising to see. So, the thing about radio, it's like I understand the whole hands-free thing. But the thing about radio is that there's literally nothing distracting about just holding a microphone while you're, right now I'm fully, 360 aware. I can hear. My eyes aren't distracted at all. I've just got a thing in front of me that my thumb is pushing, big deal. The only argument you can make is that I have one hand on the wheel instead of two, but I do that no matter what.
There's no doubt distracted driving is a big problem there, but most of the year I don't find it too difficult. But now that summer's around, all them young ladies running around out here in these itty little bikinis and stuff, but all of a sudden, I'm an old, broken-down old man, but I'm still a man. Sometimes that sort of grabs my attention, and I just start to let go.
Oh, yeah. I've been attracted by it. So, all right. Anyhow, I am pulling up at the house. I'm gonna back in here and get inside. Catch you a little later after yours. WNFU.
Okay, Sean. Always good to catch up with you. Just in case I don't have a good happy Good Friday and Easter. And be careful. We'll catch you later. KEHWOJ.
WHRIT.
Connected to CMN Network.
WHJJ testing. KKKKL. What do you know? It's Pi-A.
Yep, definitely it's Pi Day. Actually, it's Fish Day.
Yep, sure is, sure is. I'll be reading a few passages myself today here for that. Anyway, boy, nice and sunny out here. I didn't do it yesterday, Tom, but I'll get the mobile back in here in the work van today. So, how well can you hear me now?
Hey, loud and clear. Been on a mobile or are you on an HT?
I'm on extra class portable. So I'm just left 75 at 94 heading home, and I'll switch over to the Mount Clemens maybe in a little bit. You let me know if I'm getting too rough here. When I was talking with you yesterday, Tom, I don't know how well we were able to hear each other. I was asking you about the various DMR mobile models. What else would I be considering in addition to cost? I'm assuming they all probably have thousands of channels in which to input frequencies, so I think that should probably be plenty. Take a look at the power outputs on them. I don't know if they're drastically different, you know, 75 to 50 watts of high power or something like that. What do you know as far as any kind of overall general opinions, complaints, and such of any known, known variants or basically anything that would tend to break? Is there anything kind of known on those? And what about programming? Is programming relatively easy, comparatively speaking, from manufacturer to manufacturer?
Well, the most common one out there is the TYT MD9600. Any zone has one too. I can't remember which one it is. And Olinko just came out with their own DMR model. So that one's a quad bander, I think, and that one does 50 watts, I think. So those are a couple to look for.
Okay, I was dragging my feet there. I thought I heard someone else call in. I think it was an N8, N8 call sign. If you would, go ahead and join the conversation.
N8DF, good afternoon, guys.
Hi, good afternoon, Dakota. Well, if you caught on, I was just asking Tom for suggestions and then some interest. Purchasing a DMR mobile. Okay, Tom, I also didn't know a Olinko had one, so I'll take a look at that too. I've seen a review from somebody else. I can't remember which TYT model it was, but it was a quad bander, but I'm not certain if it did DMR. I don't think it did. So that would be one that I would really quite consider, although it would be nice. I think it had 10 meters, 6, 2, and 440 on it, which would be kind of nice to have something like that. Dakota, over to you, and good afternoon.
There are not a lot of DMR mobile options. There's the Anytone 578, which is probably, in my opinion, the nicest amateur DMR dual band. It's actually tri-band, depending on which model you get. 50-watt radio. Then you got TYT 9600, which is a step down from there in features, but equally as reliable and good. There's the CS Solutions or CS something or another. It's like a 4550 clone. That's also another good radio. NAWRO has one. He likes it. And then I did not know Olinko just came out with one. What else is there? Well, then there's the Motorola, so you can get a 4550. Those are very inexpensive. I actually have one on the floor of my passenger seat right now. That is up for grabs if you're interested. And then I just ordered the best, I don't want to say best, but it's discontinued now, the XPR 5550E. That's a Motorola, but it's UHF only, 40 watt DMR. So not a ton of options out there. There's not a ton of functionality and features amongst some of these unless you spend a little bit more money to get you know, the detachable head. Tom, I don't know which, does the 9600 have a detachable faceplate?
No, the 9600 is just all one contained unit. That's the one that Brad has in his JCI truck that's, you know, on permanent loan to him. And the one that you're thinking of that Tim has is the Connect system. And that one's got the detachable faceplate on it. That one's really nice, but that's UHF DMR only. TYT, I think, is TYT, Alinco, and maybe an Anytone are all tri-banders. The rest are UHF DMR only.
Okay, well, since I'm kind of new to it, maybe you guys have to tell me about this. Is there anything relatively local to us or VHF DMR? I am unaware of any, so I would probably say that would kind of not be too much of a big help for me as far as that goes. To get a tri-bander, it's like, well, if there's nothing on 2-meter DMR, you know, it's not really a whole lot of good for that. Then that would be the prime purpose for the DMR mobile for DMR. I've got other mobiles for analog, so DMR would be the main thing. And then, Dakota, you have to let me know, maybe, tell me a little bit more about the 4550. Is that UHF? And I was telling Tom yesterday that I was probably going to hold off on really looking at Motorola, because I was thinking, generally speaking, they're a little bit more expensive than, you know, the TYT and such, I'm guessing, just because they're probably, you know, better quality, I'll say that. But you say that's kind of relatively inexpensive, so, okay, that's piquing my interest. So, I don't know if you really want to discuss costs and such on the radio, but maybe figure out a way to shoot you my email address or something like that, and we can take it more privately or something like that. But yeah, Dakota, if you would tell me, is the 4550, is that UHF only?
To my knowledge, Motorola does not make multi-band VMR radios. I could be wrong, but they have the 4000 and 5000 series Moto Turbos, and there's variations of those that will have certain functionality or won't have certain functionality. The ones you want to look at are the 4550 and the 5550 or 5550E. All the other denominations have channel limits or power limits or things like that. But be careful, because both of those models do come in a 25-watt and a 40-watt. So you can get a 4550 on eBay all day long for $200 to $400, depending on condition. There's one open box on there right now. I almost bought it this morning for $385. It's, like, brand new in the packaging. 40-watt UHF, and they are UHF only, so keep that in mind. But I don't know of any other DMR 2-meter stuff around here, and I don't really do any 2-meter anyway, so it's not a big deal to me. And then there's the 5550, 5550E. You can add on about another $200 to $300 for the 4550 if you find a clean one of those. So I ordered one this morning. The guy had it listed for $550. I offered him $475, and he accepted it. So that's where you're at for one of those. But it's, like, brand new, open box condition. So you can get them a little beat up for a little less than that. But I don't know. I'm just weird about my stuff, and I like when it's pristine as much as I can. So there's that. But then you got to factor in things like, does it come with a power cord? There goes $15. Does it come with a microphone? If it doesn't, there's another $60. Programming cable, there's $30. So it's not like the amateur stuff where you can buy the radio and everything comes with it in the box.
100%. Dave, exactly what Dakota said. I actually have a 4550 in a bag. down here on the floor like he does, and my DMR that's in my work van now is a 5550E, and I paid quite a few bills for it, and then I spent another $100.50 for a DTMF microphone. The software is easy to get. Motorola will get an account with Motorola, download it, the cable. You get anywhere from, like Dakota said, you know, for $30, sometimes you get it for about $20. I think I paid probably about $20 for mine. And then there's the whole, you know, programming it. It's way different. If you want something for simplicity and easy to do, then I would do the MD9600 and put OpenGD77 firmware in it. And if you have a couple other radios that do OpenGD77, you can intertwine the code plug between each one. But I don't believe there are any VHF DMRs anywhere. And VHF is almost close to being, you know, not really busy compared to UHF.
KF8BLX coming.
KF8BLX, go ahead. KCK Joe.
I think you probably won anyways. With the KF8BLX, go ahead with your comment.
Hey guys, good afternoon. Just listening in. There is one other option, and that is the Radiodity series. There are two of them. It is a DB25D and a DB40D. Obviously, one is 25 watts, the other is 40 watts. Relatively cheaper priced, but lots of features. So you can check those out too, and they are my dual band. KF8BLX, just wanted to throw that in there.
Okay, very good. Thanks for the suggestions, everybody. I sure that's appreciated. So, got more places to do some more window shopping yet. And you know, I've heard of Radiodity, but I thought they were more like a distributor, I guess. I didn't know that they actually manufactured the radio, so I'll take a look there too. I don't know, up for grabs. I mean, Thomas, I think I mistakenly doubled with you. I reversed the firing order, so you probably won anyway, so.
I try, but I'm going to throw it over to Dakota, then he can throw it back to me.
I'm just coming out of that hole, so good timing. But yeah, there's I totally forgot about Radiodity, so I guess there's more options than initially I thought. Obviously not nearly as many as analog, but there's still more options than Fusion, and there's still more options than V-Star, so there's that. But it's all preference thing, it's all how much do you want to spend, it's what features do you want or need. Like, typically, if you would have asked me a year ago when I was doing analog only, I would have said I need to have a detachable head with a remote mounting kit, and a speaker in the head, so I don't have to run that. But now the way I run my radios is I run them in an Armalock in a bag on a battery, so that doesn't matter anymore. I'm actually taking my FTM-150 out of the truck and getting rid of it. So now they're just going to be portable radios with a mag mount or maybe a permanently fixed antenna that I screw onto the radio. But I'm going to take it in and out of the truck now. I don't know why, but I like doing that, and I think it's kind of fun to operate differently, and now I'll be able to use different radios different ways. So it's all preference, but like I said, I'm starting to switch my stuff to Motorola. I've got a 4550 on the floor. I ordered another XDR 7550 this morning and 5550E this morning. So I'm a complete degenerate, but I'm getting rid of a lot of my amateur stuff and switching it to Motorola. So the programming is different, but it's not the end of the world. It took me, I don't know, 2.5 hours to program my first Motorola radio from scratch. And that was, you know, entering in tons of channels manually because there's no import, at least not for your first Motorola. So it's not terrible, it's just, it's different.
100% agree with that as well. Yeah, it's not too difficult once you get in, once you learn it, I mean, you can fly right through it. You know, because I used, Wally did my 5550E, but he did the basic of the 4550 for me, and then I went in there and customized it.
I got the, what is it, the IP connect and the Moto Turbo, where it pings the towers and picks whatever one is better. And I love my Motorola's.
The Kodak era. was a HD220 or something. I had been looking a couple months back. I was going to look at, just thinking about getting another GP68 for UHF. I have one, but I had it sitting for a while, and the battery had deteriorated and corroded the connection on the radio for the power. So it looks like that's kind of unusable anymore, so I'll probably get a good battery, use it for parts. I don't know for what parts, but I looked at another one and saw another one in decent condition. I think it was $50, but I was like, hold on. So he's done, and I'm not too far from home. You get in, maybe grab some bite to eat, and we'll probably head out, maybe do a little bike ride today evening. So I want to say 7-3 to you, gentlemen. And again, I want to say thank you all. Thanks for all the suggestions and some good tips so I can do some more research here. That's what I want. I'm turning it over to you. And everybody have a great evening and great weekend. That's great. All righty.
KKK Joe. Sounds good, Dave. Like I said, if you see me at the office, you can take a look at the Motorola that I got. And like I said, I got my Yaesu System Fusion. Because I'm starting to dabble a little bit into that as well. So, all I got to do is ask. Take a look at it. Have a good one, Dave. KKK Joe. Over to Dakota since you're out of the hole.
Have a good one, Dave. YouTube is your friend. At least gives you a visual of what they look like and kind of how they operate. I would say performance-wise, they're all probably pretty comparable. Maybe Motorola edging it out slightly, if any. Tom, what do you think about the 4550 versus your 5550? Obviously, the 5550 is better, but any complaints or qualms with the 4550? This one asks me, is it worth having two of them?
I just got to get another, mini UHF to PL239 adapter for it, or SL239, I'm sorry, and that's going to go in another vehicle, and then I'm going to buy another antenna, and I like them both. They're both so simple to program, it's ridiculous. So I like them both, Dakota. I can't really pick between the two. What I like about the 5550 is got the DTMF mic on it, so it makes switching channels a lot easier, switching zones a lot easier, compared to trying to look down at the display and hitting high-low power or anything else like that.
I imagine performance-wise, they're probably pretty close, too. I know the 5550E is supposed to have a better receiver in it, but in practice, doesn't really make a difference. But yeah, I have two mini UHFs, SO239s coming tomorrow, so I can at least play with this 4550. But for the 5550, I ordered an Armalock, so I have the RF relocation kit that has all the adapters for all that, and that's going to go in a bag. But my main reason for jumping up to the 5550, I was going to just rock the 4550, but I wanted the 5550 because it's like the same display as the 7550 and the R7. I feel like you get more information, and for DMR, I do like having a color display that gives me more information. And that was one thing I did notice is these are literally just microphones, so that kind of sucks that I got to fork out more money for a microphone that has an up-down button on it. I don't necessarily need DTMF. I don't do anything that requires that. But on my radios now, I live and die by the up-down buttons just to flip through the repeaters, which wouldn't be the end of the world having to turn the dial on the radio, but it is mighty convenient just having it in my hand.
You're connected to CMN Network.
Yeah, that's one thing I like about the 5550. I got the up-down button. up, down, you know, up arrow, down arrow. It does have the keypad on it. I think you can get one with just the up and downs on it, but don't quote me on that. Then I got the side buttons that I can change my, you know, so it is an advantage, and I'm getting spoiled by it. I was actually getting spoiled by Wally's when I was riding with him. And then that's where I got my 5550 from. It's from Wally because he pulled it out and put in his new tape. And then I went to Atlantic Radio and picked up the DTMF mic for it. It does make things simpler. To me, it's worth the extra 80, 90 bucks for it, so I got it.
Tom, that 5550 makes your butt look bigger.
If you're not into radio to make your butt look bigger, why are you even into radio?
I can't believe you let that one go.
Well, I've been told before that I'm well-rounded, so I guess that'll work. How's it going, Jeff? Hope you're driving safe out there today.
Yeah, just getting out of work. Oh, let's go. I'll be back. Get us to be...
AEA-WOA.
Go ahead, Rick. When you're done, toss it over to Dakota before he hits his final destination. KCKJO.
Hi, guys. Just wanted to say howdy. I'm out here on the porch having a cigar again. And wanted to wish you all a good, happy Good Friday and a good Easter if I don't talk to you over. Usually don't catch you over the weekend. I hope you guys have a good Easter and a good, safe weekend, and we'll catch up to you later kind of thing. I've been spending the whole day checking out 22 mag rifles. wishful thinking.
Oh, I'm back, but no relation, no back.
Happy Easter, Rick, if I don't talk to you. I should be around. Oh, my God, excuse me. Hey, God, it's Friday. I should be around this weekend. It's not. Happy Easter. And, yeah, I've been passing lots of critters on the way home, and I'm really going to start hammering some farmers to find somewhere to hunt. And I don't know who gets the next. Jeff's back, so I'll hand it to Jeff and then hand it to Tom.
Okay, yeah, I can't believe Tom let that one go. I mean, other than saying he's been told he's wrong, you know. That was an afterthought. I like the 5550. I like the 4550. 5550 for me has got an advantage of being able to change channels on the mic. Because I got it mounted up above. And reaching up there is kind of a pain. So you can shoot the microphone to make adjustments. I wish they'd have done that on the 4550. I don't know. I like the 4550 too, but... Now, 6550 versus 7550, I think the 6550 has got the 7550 beat. Tom?
Let's just say, Jeff, that it went over my head. I'm looking for an address to go take a look at a retired police interceptor.
Wait, does the mic that comes with the 5550 have volume or the up-down buttons on it, or did you have to buy that?
It's a DTMF mic that does not come with a radio. Well, if you order it brand new, it's good, but normally you just get just a microphone.
Alright, I'll be back out, guys. I'm going to take a look at this truck real quick. KCKJO.
Sorry, there's a place somewhere that some of the guys have gotten the Tahoes and stuff from. I think the Chicago area. They're really happy with it. And the last guy that bought one got it, pretty much stole it. So, I don't know, something to keep in mind too. Dakota?
Yeah, I wouldn't mind. I was looking. I can't remember the part number, but I found one. I'm assuming they're all interchangeable because they have the same XLR connector. But I found one that's, it's basically the stock mic, it's got the PCP, but then there's two side buttons for up and down. which is all I need. I mean, a DCM up mic would be nice if I can program stuff to it. Like on the ASU, I've got a power map button, which I guess is not that big of a deal. That's really the only thing I use. So yeah, just a channel up down will be a game changer for me.
I don't know what you switched to, but your audio was really hot and clipping. So, yeah, I guess there's three steps. There's a regular mic, and then there's that one with a couple buttons, and then there's the full band DCM up mic. So, there is a couple of options, but the full-blown DCM up mic is nice.
I might have been yelling into the mic because the windows were down and I switched to the Elmont repeater. Am I still clipping?
Your audio is really hot. Yep. You clipped that time, but it's right there.
I'll never understand this repeater.
Is your repeater in Elmont now?
Yeah, it's the one that's at my house.
Yeah, the audio's not quite set right. Not sure what you got and how you got it configured, but a lot of times when that happens, you got two audio settings and one's cranked up too far. You got the other one turned all the way down, and it sometimes does that kind of stuff, so. Repeater days in the controller sets, was always a problem. You always had to make sure it was balanced.
You know what's funny is Sean actually tuned this one. That's when he drove out to my house and helped me get it working right because it was freaking out for a bit there. RX level is at like 600, I think. RX boost is not on. Pre and B emphasis are enabled. And the TXA is at 850, 900. TXB is at 0.
I'm not sure what you're using for interface, but it sounds like a URI. Yeah, I'm pretty sure the audio has got to get, you know, turned down. I don't know how you're feeding it or whatever, but that's what it appears like to me. One part of the audio device is cranked up and the other one's fairly minimal, meaning, you know, if you got adjustments coming out of the repeater itself, that's probably set maybe too low, and then if it's a URI, that's set too high type thing. Just suggestion.
I'll look when I get home, but the repeater controller is completely bypassed and disabled, and it's all being controlled by the ASL node and simple USB.
Yeah, something's not 100% kosher. So, I mean, I can hear you, but I can tell your audio is right at the top.
It's probably this lovely ASU I'm talking on. I wonder what the gain's set to.
Yeah, I don't know. Like I said, it reminds me of, say the repeater is set too low and the audio interface is set too high, so I don't know what the simple USB is. I don't think I played with that much, but just throwing some ideas out there.
I will double check it. I think it's specific to this radio though, because I've talked on it with 1, 2, 3, 4 other radios and the audio was fine.
Yeah, you'll get her fingered out.
Alright, well I am approaching my driveway, so I'm going to clear out of here. But I will I'll double check those settings in a little bit. Maybe turn the RX receive, RX whatever the hell level, set it back to 500 and see.
Hey, sounds good. Chat it to you later. Give it up for me.
N8 DBF.
Star, Bravo Zulu Romeo. How you doing?
W8JJ test.
Connected to CMN Network.
NADBF. Give me an SWR NADBF.
You're connected to CMN Network.
You listen in here, Wally. I found it.
Currently connected to CMN Network. Connected to CMN Network. You're connected to CMN Network. Connected to CMN Network.
W8JJ test.
You're connected to CMN Network.
NAROD. You're on the output of the repeater. You're not on the repeater. I don't know how to turn it off quickly on this radio, but when you're trying to work a repeater, you have to have an offset. And so you enter in the frequency, like you've obviously correctly done that, then you have to have the offset. It's usually, what radio, first of all, are you working with? Okay, I was just talking about one of those. I do not have one, but... anybody out here got a TH9800 TYT? Anybody on frequency? Well, tell me this: do you program that radio via the keypad or with the microphone, or do you use the software to program it? Because if it's the software, I could probably walk you through it. Okay, you still hearing me? I just switched to the output as well. If not, hold on.
currently connected to CMN Network.
Okay, do you hear me now? And it did change. It did change. I found out that I have to do it through the menu to change it to the second key, but now it is changing.
Yep, you're working now. You're on the repeater, and you have the tone right and everything, so you're all set.
Thank you very much, Sean. I appreciate it greatly. That's been about 3 sleepless nights trying to figure this out, so I appreciate it greatly, and I'll see you around. N8KJV, I'll be clear on your final.
Okay, no problem. Glad we could help, and let me know how you like that radio. We're close enough to hear each other's simplex, obviously, but probably do yourself a big. I wouldn't want to have to program one of these by hand anymore. Good grief. So good luck finding some software. All right. We'll catch you. W8FU.
Can't remember if I said my call sign to end, so I'll just say once again, thank you very much. I hope you have a great night, and N8KJV, clear.
W8FU, W8DPD.
What's up, Brian?
Not much. Breakfast on for tomorrow morning?
Yes, I am. You gonna make it?
Yes, I am. And I'll be making it more frequently because I am officially retired as of the 31st of March.
Look at you go. All right. I'm envious, and I'm not. So I'll be right behind you, but no immediate plans. Well, you'll have to let me know how it feels. When was your last day?
Well, Tuesday was my last day. I actually got to sleep in on Wednesday until almost 9 o'clock. And then Thursday, I had to get up early and help start decorating for the Easter season at the church. And then this morning, the dog had me up at 7:45. So with Easter weekend, all the stuff we do at church, I'm not going to find out till next week what it's like to be retired.
Yeah, I imagine it's going to be really busy for you at the church and everything like that, but I know you've been talking about this, but I thought there was something you were holding out for. Stars must have aligned and the cards must have been dealt, and look at you, 31st, boom.
Yeah, well, boom's a good descriptor because I didn't drop my paperwork until the 16th of March. And typically when you do that, it's the end of the following month when they get around to getting the paperwork submitted and everything else like that. And then this past Tuesday, not the 31st, but the Tuesday before that, I asked the plant manager if there was any movement on getting some die makers to retire because they have a little conundrum. They say that you could be put out as early as the end of the month in which you file your paperwork, but they also say in the same breath that you have to have a suitable replacement. Well, nobody was dropping their paperwork. They didn't want to go ASAP. Most of us had some sort of a target. So they negotiated, and they finally started moving on getting some of us out so that they could requisition new workers to be hired. So plant manager told me the Tuesday before I retired that I was good for the end of April and that they were starting to let people retire. They had 2 going at the end of March. I walked into work the next day. My union steward came right up to me and said, well, they took Chuck off the list because he's on medical, and you're retiring on the 31st, so I had 6 days to get my poop in a group.
Well, good for you. All right, well, we'll talk more tomorrow. Sounds sounds glorious, and congratulations. It's nice to hit the finishing line.
Yeah, middle of next week I'm heading up north. We'll be back on the weekend, Saturday or Sunday. I'm not sure yet because Mama's got to be back to work on Monday. And then I get to plan my trip going back up to do some cleanup. All right, we'll see you in the morning at breakfast.
All right, see you then. WAPD.
Hello, Echo 8, Fox Trotley, me, Yankee Radio, Chuck.
Connected to CMN Network. You're connected to CMN Network. Connected to CMN Network.